Great stand up right there, and it's Alex Tuck on a breakaway, shorthanded, save, scores!
Dan Dunleavy on the call last night down at the arena. I mean, the Sabres played a really good hockey game, I think, by most accounts. I think they did. Sometimes I'm watching going, I think they're playing a good game. They're out shooting the Kings at one point. It was like 25-9 or something. I don't know. Wound up pretty lopsided. They just could not get some puck luck into the net. They missed some golden opportunities on their own. There's no doubt about that. And then, of course, Anze Kopitar, he's a terrific player. He winds up with the hat trick at the end of the game. They lose 3-1. To the LA Kings. I saw my guy John Scott down there doing some live hits outside the arena. The fan fest was going on. Little party in the plaza. They had the gold carpet. They had a band playing. Had a good crowd out there. Had John dressed to the nines as he always does, going on Channel 2, WGRZ TV. Sports director joins me right now on the West Her Hotline. Good atmosphere down there last night, outside and inside the arena, wouldn't you say?
It was really good outside. I think it took the crowd a little bit of time early on.
Yeah.
Almost like they came in guarded.
Yeah.
To get some things going. But especially the McLeod penalty shot and things like that, I think that's when the energy started to ratchet up. And I think it's notable. It was not surprising the great ovation Lindy Ruff got.
Yeah.
I was kind of surprised the amount of boos Kevin Adams got. And people, their responses when I put it out on social media were like, well, he kind of deserves it. So the fans making their voices heard on both sides of the coin.
Yeah, very interesting to me as well. On both counts. And, I mean, Lindy even, in case people don't know, got a standing ovation. That wasn't the case for most of the players necessarily. There was cheering, and then I think Darlene got a standing ovation for being captain. I think some people did, but Lindy got a standing ovation. It lasted. And my wife, Yana, she looked at me. We were at the game. The new video board, by the way, we can talk about that, but she said, Lindy's getting choked up. And I looked, and he was getting choked up, John. I mean, it meant a lot, I think, for him to be in that position back in the building. It meant a lot for Sabres fans to see him there. Unfortunately, not the result they wanted last night. You've covered him now. You've been able to talk to him. I know that, you kind of got here. You didn't cover Lindy originally, right? When he was here, you weren't here yet, right?
No, I got here January 2014,
okay.
So not too long after. They were transitioning to the true drought era that we have come to know.
Well, as someone who then did not experience that, or him growing up like I did playing for the Buffalo Sabres as a captain, what has been your kind of observation from the outside about the affinity that people have for Lindy Ruff and the connection here?
They love him, and I can kind of relate to it because the Guardians at the time, Indians, Mike Hargrove was like the Lindy Ruff of that team in the 90s, the greatest era of that baseball team's history, went to two World Series, came so close to winning it all for a city and a franchise that doesn't win championships in the sporting realm. And he came back briefly later on in his tenure. And those types of stories are always great for fan bases that especially are starving for success and can then look to a beacon of when success was pretty regular. And that's what Lindy Ruff has been. I asked him the first day of training camp how much he was maybe still soaking in what it means to be back with this team. And at that point, in that setting, he said, I'm past the nostalgia part. This is back to work. But I think last night, as you indicated, it's a different story. It's a different moment to finally have 13,000+, 15, whatever, KeyBank, 18,000, however many people are in there, show their affection all at once. It had to be overwhelming for him, but you're also then seeing the other side of it, which is what made him so endearing and makes him so endearing to this fan base. He's tough. He's straightforward. He's no nonsense. And you heard it in his comments after last night's loss.
Yeah, no doubt. And I did like the fact that he recognized as well, like, look, we played the way we should be playing. There are only a few minutes there of the game. He said, there's only a few minutes I'm going to not like about this game. Sometimes you just have a little bit of puck luck or bad puck luck. That's what seemed to happen last night. But overall, through three games, John, 0-3, you're sitting there and thinking, oh my God, here we go again. It just seems like, and you can't blame any fan for thinking, okay, here we go, another wasted season. You hope that's not the case, but I can't blame any fan for kind of getting to those depths right away already.
100%. And what were some of, you talk about people booing Kevin Adams, what are a lot of people so critical of him coming into this season? Why? Because he did not address the top six. Mm-hmm. There was so much turnover and talk about grit and the way we want to play with kind of repurposing the bottom six. But the top six, they're once again going with this plan of, well, let's just rely on the fact that Tage Thompson's going to get back to being the elite scorer. Let's rely on the fact that Dylan Cousins is going to be this great player. Let's rely on Alex Tuck having been more at the top end of his career numbers rather than maybe in the middle. That's what they did once again. And yes, it's 3 out of 82, but one goal in each. And it even kind of goes back to last year. Yeah, they dealt with injuries. And yeah, maybe the bottom six wasn't great. But the best players on the team were not the best. They did not play their best last year. Some of them, probably most of them, regressed. And you're not seeing them come out the gate in three games being showing you anything that would make you believe, okay, they're going to get back to that top form that they were in a few years ago when they barely missed the playoffs. To me, you could talk about the bottom six and the goaltending and whatever, new coach and all of that, but your best players have to be at their best. And to my eye, even dating back to last season and three games in here, they haven't been for the Sabres, and I'm going to put it on them.
John Scott on the Western Hotline. We'll talk more about the Sabres with Paul Hamilton at the top of the next hour. So let's transition here, talk a little bit about the Buffalo Bills, their game coming up Monday night against the New York Jets. Do you subscribe to, believe in, I know there's some math on this as well, the quote-unquote bump a team gets when firing a head coach and another team kind of having to be on the lookout for that, so to speak?
Sure, because it puts people on notice, yep, for lack of a better term, of, hey, heads are going to start rolling, decisions are going to start to be made drastically with when it comes to the head coach if we don't get our act together, if we do not perform better. And I'll be real interested to see how Aaron Rodgers plays. Is Aaron Rodgers not Aaron Rodgers because he's in his 40s coming off an Achilles injury, or is Aaron Rodgers not Aaron Rodgers because there was some divide between he and Robert Saleh? I don't know. I probably would lean more towards he's in his 40s coming off an Achilles.
Right.
But overall, maybe some guys will bump. But I was down on the Jets, lower than on the Jets than a lot of people because of that. Aaron Rodgers is 40 coming off an Achilles. And outside of Garrett Wilson, I've never been a Mike Williams fan. He's coming off a major injury. I mean, what makes – I couldn't find things that made me believe that outside of continuing to have a good defense, very good defense, why this they all of a sudden would be catapulted and ascend into a conversation where they are not only a legitimate threat to the Bills in the division, but this an AFC contender. I just never saw it.
Well, I would think that on Monday night, they might go back to trying to run the ball against the 32nd ranked, you know, run per play defense in the NFL. They have Breece Hall, who just hasn't been able to get off this year, but last year had a terrific game opening night against the Buffalo Bills opening Monday night. To me, I guess that would be their formula, but I agree with you. Like, I haven't seen anything necessarily from their offense that makes me think they're going to turn it on, and this Bills defensive line needs to be able to outperform the Jets offensive line in this game.
I think the Bills' defensive front, you could maybe go the whole team, certainly on the defensive side of things. I mean, they're the X factor. We see, with not to steal something from the offense, when the defensive line is eating, when they're constantly producing pressure and disrupting and getting quarterbacks off their spot, the defense as a whole has a different tone. They have a different veracity to themselves, and they're more effective. And we always hear Sean McDermott, and I've heard it even other games with other broadcasters. Belichick, I believe, said it on the Manning cast the other night. The front and the back end of defenses work in unison. They work synergy. It's if the front's doing well, it helps out the back. If the back's doing well, it helps out the front. But this group, that was my biggest concern, maybe even beyond the wide receivers, and that may be a bit extreme, but I didn't know what they had there. And ironically enough, Von Miller was someone who was giving them a bump above expected. Now he is out with a suspension. You need more from A.J. Epenesa. You need to see more consistency out of Greg Rousseau. The guy pops, and you're like, okay, this is great. And then you don't see him for a couple games. You just need more consistency. I do like what I've seen from Javon Solomon in very small sample sizes. But that group, I think, is going to be the real dictator, not only Monday night against the Jets, but moving forward for the Bills' defense.
All right, on the other side of the ball, two games in a row here, very uninspiring performances from the offense, and then we obviously had the injury to Khalil Shakir in game one, the first game, I should say, at Baltimore, where he just wasn't the same. He misses, and that really just tightened the reins on everybody. Just looks to me like teams are daring them to beat them with their wide receivers and saying, you can't do it. They're sending pressure. How do they fix it? How concerned are you about these wide receivers, the passing game, and what teams are doing to the Bills right now?
Well, clearly, no one can separate, and that was the biggest concern when this group was put together. And they got away with it early on. I think part of that's opponent base. I think part of it is also simply that teams didn't know what the Bills were going to look like with this new collection of wide receivers and this passing game, and with Joe Brady fully acclimated in the OC realm. And like every team in the league does, gets tape out there and teams figure it out. And the opponents also ratchet it up here. And we know what the New York Jets can do as well. To me, I don't understand, dating back to even when they drafted Dalton Kincaid, why is he not a focal point? I think that was a large assumption for many people that, okay, they're pivoting away from Stephon Diggs and an alpha at the wide receiver position and maybe transitioning to this everybody eats, but maybe funneling things more towards a favorable matchup that includes Dalton Kincaid or even the running backs like a James Cook. They haven't done that. And to me, okay, week one, it was, oh, they were throwing two, sometimes three people, the Cardinals, on Dalton Kincaid, and it opened up for other people. But you traded up in the first round to get him. I didn't like the move at the time because I just didn't think there were enough targets and he could be impactful enough to warrant it. And now the opportunity is there, and Joe Brady has to find ways to scheme him open and make Dalton Kincaid be the player that when they drafted him, they said that he would be in this offense.
All right, listen, tomorrow I have a much more relaxing Saturday than you because my Yankees are into the ALCS. Your Guardians have a winner-take-all Game 5 against the Detroit Tigers. And on top of that, you have your Ohio State team at the same time playing against Oregon. How are you going to manage the stress tomorrow?
I have no idea. One of my best friends actually invited me to go to the game, but I was like, I'm going to stay at home. I got some things to do. Want to prepare, obviously, before leaving for the Jets trip in a day or so. So I'm going to watch it from home. I also want to keep an eye on the Ohio State game. I don't know what to do. Like, we have picture-in-picture, but that's not going to suffice. I can't – what am I going to choose to put in picture-in-picture here?
Well, here's what I do sometimes. Here's what I do. When I have, like, the Yankees and a football game on, I'll put the football game on the TV and the Yankees just on my computer screen in front of me. So I literally have two things going. I can kind of go back and forth. It's not picture-in-picture, but there are two screens right there, and I can be a little mobile with the one if I need to move around.
I could do that. I could take one of the TVs off the wall from upstairs and bring it down. It's not that big. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe we'll go out. I don't know. I have far more confidence in the Ohio State Buckeyes this weekend than I do against with the Guardians. Scooble, I mean, you talk about out of nowhere, and he's going to win the Cy Young. He was lights out against them in Game 2. And honestly, I've seen this script before where the Guardians get in these critical matchups and they face a hot pitcher, whether it's John Lester in the World Series against the Cubs, whether it's Josh Beckett or Pedro Martinez with the Red Sox. I mean, the list goes on. And Andy Pettit back with the Yankees. You just have this feeling of, okay, it's great. They finally won an elimination game, but their offense is just so frustrating. It's so inconsistent. And I just have very little faith, especially going up against a starting pitcher on a heater. But maybe the progressive feel, Cleveland magic, can will them. And if they can maybe scratch and claw one or two and make it a bullpen game, then I think I feel good. Because even though Class A is now allowed, honestly, like more runs in two games against Detroit than he had like all season, you get to the back end of the Guardians' pen, and I like to feel good, but they're a tough team to put a lot of confidence in just because they just don't look or feel like a lot of teams that are true championship contenders.
Well, I would like to thank the Guardians because if and I like I for your sake, I'd love the Guardians to win, although that would be very stressful for me because you and Josh and all these Guardian fans around. But at least by making it go five games, Scooble gets used up tomorrow, and he can't be used again in the early part of the ALCS if they win.
Right. You don't have, and if the Guardians win, you don't have to worry about any of their starters. Frankly, none of them are that intimidating. Oh. So, it would be fun. We've had a few moments here during my time over the past 10 years where the Guardians and the Yankees or Indians, whatever, have had playoff battles. You and the Yankee crew have gotten the better of them most of the time, but I would love another crack at it. So let's hope Saturday is a double win for me and fellow Ohioans.
Enjoy tomorrow night, whatever, how you ever consume it all, and safe travels to New York, and we'll catch up, buddy. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right, you got it. That is John Scott, WGRZ TV2 sports director. Paul Hamilton on the way next. We'll take a timeout, be real quick on the back end, do another timeout, then we'll get Paul Hamilton at the top of the hour to talk Sabres and everything that happened last night. I'll get to the entire NFL schedule as well and my thoughts on each game here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.